You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent.
We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
For some reason, I was expecting Jarvis to step in there.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
Well, he just did. Okay.
Oh.
Jarvis, you're a little slow tonight. Welcome to another...
Well, he's running Windows 10.
Oh. Ooh.
Whose bright idea it was to update him at this point, I don't know.
I didn't do it.
Maybe it's the same intern who keeps putting the screwy release dates on Marvel's release calendar.
Could be. Welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. You've already heard our voices. It's Eric, Kylan, and Mike. And we're here for some Marvel goodness.
Which one am I?
The one that I'm not.
And the one I'm not.
Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that.
So let's hop right into it. There's only one tidbit of movie news that we found this week. It's kind of a rumor, but it's an exclusive. And not from El Mayimbe.
It's not from El Mayimbe. It's from El Variety. Okay, that's a really bad attempt at a joke. It's from Variety.com.
Oh, my gosh.
It is an exclusive where they are reporting that Hannibal star Mads Mikkelsen is in early talks to play one of the villains in Doctor Strange. Now, Variety has learned exclusively, they say. Sources say no offer has been delivered, but one is expected shortly. And, of course, Marvel had no comment on his involvement. Now, for those of you playing along at home, which should be all of you, Tilda Swinton and Chiwetel Ejiofor are on board to co-star. Cumberbatch is playing the lead role, Benedict Cumberbatch, for those of you who didn't know which Cumberbatch I was talking about. He will play Stephen Vincent Strange, a former neurosurgeon who becomes the next Sorcerer Supreme and primary protector of Earth against magical and mystical threats. Now, this character was created by comics artist Steve Ditko in 1963. Swinton will play Strange's mentor, the Ancient One. I still don't understand how that's going to play out. While Chiwetel will appear as Baron Mordo, who also studies magic under the Ancient One, before becoming Doctor Strange's nemesis. Now, Mikkelsen's exact role remains under wraps, but sources say that he will be another antagonist to Doctor Strange. Now, we're probably going to have to wait a while to find out exactly what he's going to play because, well, it's going to be a while until the Doctor Strange movie comes out. That will be November 4th in 2016.
Man.
Yeah, 2016 is loaded as it is.
Now, I did also find out, and this is something I forgot to mention to y'all. Yes, Vin Diesel is coming back as Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. When asked about it on his Facebook page, director James Gunn said, "I thought everybody knew that he was coming back," or something to that effect. I said, "I didn't know I had to say he's coming back. Yeah, I just assumed everybody figured he would do it."
Well, I know Wizard World, Jeremy Renner was there, and he said he's siding with Cap, or Hawkeye siding with Cap in Civil War.
Well, he was wearing a hat that said Team Cap or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
And of course, rumors are also going around. I guess there was more movie news than we thought.
Yeah, there was.
Marissa Tomei possibly making an appearance as Aunt May in
Civil War. Now, we did discuss that. We discussed that on an earlier show. Because yeah, remember, I said we got to have Joe Pesci as Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's a grit?
What is a grit? Now, these two utes, these two utes over in the lab, and they're going to be bitten by this radioactive spider. So, okay. They bite you in the lab. Okay.
Well, what's with the utes being bit by a spider and swinging on a web?
There you go.
I just don't get it. Okay.
Marvel, if you are listening, please make the Pesci thing happen. That's all we are asking.
That I would be down for that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All we are saying
is give Pesci a chance.
Oh my gosh. That's scary.
I think we may have our episode, our issue title at this point.
Give Pesci a chance.
Yeah.
All we are saying is give Pesci a chance.
We're
all thinking so far out of the box. We're in each other's box.
There you go. Hey, you get out of my box over here.
Well, you know the what you guys said about. Renner wearing the Team Cap shirt. Earlier tonight, we were surfing, looking at stuff, and there was supposedly some concept art for Civil War, and Team Cap looked like it consisted of Cap, Falcon, Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and then I guess
I think it was Scarlet Witch as well.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch. Which the weird thing is, and I don't remember everybody that was on with Iron Man's team, but I did not see Scarlet Witch anywhere. I thought that was odd.
No, it was Widow who was with Cap.
I mean, yeah, Widow was with Cap. I mean, I didn't see was that Widow that was with Cap?
Possibly. See, I don't remember. Now, Team Iron Man is who?
See if I can find these.
Is Iron Man War Machine?
Okay.
Yeah, Iron Man War Machine. Who else would have been in there?
Hang on, I'm looking at them right now.
Okay.
All right. Team Iron Man looks to be Iron Man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
War Machine, mm-hmm. Black Panther,
mm-hmm.
Vision,
mm-hmm.
And I can't tell if this is this is Black Widow.
Okay.
In Cap's team, this is why we were getting confused about it. Cap's team includes Hawkeye, Falcon, Winter Soldier, Ant-Man, and Sharon Carter. Agents.
Sharon Carter. Okay.
Yes. Sharon Carter. See, I was thinking that was Mockingbird. For some reason, I'm thinking, it's the stuff's getting real now. They're bringing her over. But
right.
No, that is apparently who is.
Now, Mockingbird's getting her own show, as we talked about last week.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. But.
Hashtag Secret Warriors.
It could be good. It could be good.
Hashtag Secret Warriors. Hashtag Deathlok.
Hashtag give me some Deathlok.
Hashtag Howling Commandos.
Commandos. Yes.
You know,
as Eric's
cool?
Sitting there mocking me as I'm saying it.
No, it's just I knew it was coming. It would be interesting to see a modern-day Howling Commandos team.
I would love to see that.
I really enjoyed having Trip, Gabe's grandson. Yeah, grandson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But, of course, the Whedon effect had to take in. So,
you know, of course.
It's like, well, let's see. People like you pretty much. Therefore, you must die.
Don't.
Hey, can you make your last words be "I am a leaf on the wind"?
Ooh.
Because that would be even better.
Ooh,
The next Whedon thing to do is the character all of a sudden becomes Channing Tatum.
See, that's not even funny. No, that's why.
Okay.
Just the reason itself is no.
Kylan,
yes,
buddy.
Yes.
I am going to reach out to Channing Tatum. I'm going to get him on this show, and you two can resolve your differences.
No.
Like there, men.
There's no resolution. There's not. No.
There's some. You're blocking something here, dude.
I am.
There is some kind of negative vibe here that just cannot go away until you resolve it with him.
Because he's an active Hydra agent. That's my problem with him.
He's a member of the Illuminati, Marvel Illuminati.
I can't believe you actually said that.
I can't believe it took him three tries to say it right.
Knowing how you feel about them.
Hey, I'm just trying to help you out. Let's share the hate.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But instead,
you know, for a show that wasn't going to have but one movie story for the evening, we
surprise.
Well, then let's switch over to a little Netflix then.
Okay. Well, we got some information, rumors, whatnot, courtesy of ScreenCrush.com regarding the Luke Cage Netflix series.
Okay, I got to clarify, though.
Uh-huh.
They're saying, according to Heroic, God, I can't talk tonight.
Heroic.
Hollywood, which is El Mayimbe.
So, I got Mayimbe'd?
You got El Mayimbe'd.
It's kind of like Rickrolled, but for comics.
Considering he has left and been gone from Latino Review for a while, isn't it funny? Latino Review just, he leaves and it's almost non-existent.
Yeah, I know. It's just disappeared, gone. Well, I mean, how legit has this, I mean, some of this guy's stuff has actually panned out, though, hasn't it?
Some, but no. I mean, he still has the reputation. He himself is the one that's been banned, not his. And any group he's working with ends up being blackballed.
Right.
So
all right. So let's put this. Let's lean this more towards the rumor category then. Well, we know for a fact that there is a Netflix series for Luke Cage. We know that.
That's true.
All right, we know that.
Luke Cage show is a person running for president.
And we know for a fact that Alfre Woodard has been cast for a major role.
Another nominee. It's another nominee.
And we don't know exactly what the role is, but we know for a major role in that, and that's been confirmed from other websites. I know that much. Now let's move into rumor category. The rumor territory is that the main bad guy is believed to be Diamondback, who begins as Luke Cage's best friend, partner in crime, Willie Stryker, whom they were, according to the comic, and based on what they're saying here, it looks like the series will follow this, the origin story. Luke and Willie were partners in crime. They were in a gang together. They fall for the same girl. Willie wants to get revenge on Luke, and so he frames him. Luke ends up in jail, volunteers for a medical treatment to get his time lessened, and as a result gains the steel hard skin, the super endurance, super strength, all that good stuff that we know that Power Man Luke Cage has. When he comes back to New York, his friend has now moved up in the organized crime organization, and he's taken on the name Diamondback, and then it just goes from there.
The guy has become Diamondback.
Yes, which he basically ends up becoming outfitted with a bunch of knives and he doesn't exactly has a, even though Diamondback is more of a snake serpent name, at least in the comic, you didn't really get that from him. It was more about the knives being so sharp that they could cut diamonds. We all know. Maybe they'll change that. I don't know. Like I said, we're in the rumor territory now.
Well, see, when I hear the name Diamondback in connection with Marvel Comics, I don't think of that. I think of the character from the Serpent Society.
Yes.
The lady who used diamonds, you know, pretty much as weapons and tools and things like that. And she had a crush on Captain America, and she said she would go straight if he'd just go steady.
Well, and you know, he may have, I believe that he was the first Diamondback. And you know, Marvel likes to take
that's true.
Character and you know, pass it on and that sort of thing. So at least, and because this is Luke Cage has been around since what, 74, 75, something like that. And so, which I was more familiar with the female Diamondback. So I was a little late coming into Luke Cage. Say about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I started really getting to Luke Cage at that point. And so, you know, the time, the way that time figures out as far as who was Diamondback first, I'm guessing it was Willie Stryker. But with it being, with that name having organized crime connections, maybe they passed it on to the Serpent Society, perhaps. I don't know. The other question is, now, Luke appears, and we know that he's going to be in several episodes of Jessica Jones, as the love interest, or eventual love interest, anyway.
Yeah.
We don't know if Reva Connors, who is the girl that comes between, the woman that comes between Willie and Luke, if she is going to be a love interest in the series. I don't know. They're hinting at that here, but we won't know for sure until 2016 when the Luke Cage series starts up.
Okay. So, yeah, gotta wait till next year, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But with this next story, we only got to wait till September 29th for the show to start to see when they bring this particular character in. And according to comicbook.com, Marvel Entertainment has revealed that actor Matt Willig will play Inhuman character Lash on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Awesome.
So it was revealed earlier this summer that Lash would join the series, but in some capacity, and Jeff Loeb simply was teasing that he was coming. We know now that under all that Inhuman makeup, Willig, who was a former NFL football player, who's filed a number of minor action-heavy roles in television and film, is going to be taking over the role, will be taking on the role of Lash. Lash was created in 2014's Inhumans number one by Charles Soule, and it's kind of a hulking beast in the Inhuman world. Lash hails from Orolon, a hidden city of Inhumans who believe that the bloodline and those that get involved to the Terrigen Mist must be kept pure, similar to the city in season two of S.H.I.E.L.D. Strong and agile, Lash also has the ability to absorb and expel energy. Marvel has not revealed when he will appear on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though with the Secret Warriors tag, the idea that Skye will be looking out for other powered people, including Inhumans, his debut shouldn't be too far long. So, what are y'all's thoughts on such a recent but popular Inhuman character coming over to the series?
I don't have a problem with it. It's pretty well established that Marvel is using Inhumans to replace mutants.
Yep.
So, this, to me, just sounds like a natural move. It's kind of like, well, we've got a popular Inhuman, let's bring him in.
Now, the movie doesn't come out until 2019.
No, but
could we see him in the movie? Could we potentially see Chloe Bennett in the movie or any of the Inhumans from the series crossover into the movie?
Honestly, it would not surprise me in the least.
I would say it's very possible because we've already seen people from the movies crossover to the network. I mean, to network TV. Now, from Nick Fury all the way down to
Lady Sif.
Lady Sif.
That's well. And then we've seen what
Maria Hill.
Maria yeah. Hill. We've seen
Nick Fury.
Fury.
Jasper Sitwell.
Sitwell. Yeah.
I mean, the only two big name characters was Sif and Fury with major parts in the film.
True, mm-hmm. But I mean they were still characters.
Right.
Here's the thing that I find interesting, and I don't know if Marvel intended to do this, but it seems like Lash's abilities are very similar to Bishop.
Yes.
And Bishop is a very popular X-Men character. Yes. So I think this is a great way for them to even further cement the popularity of the Inhumans.
Right.
By doing such, I mean you're going to inundate the general populace with the existence of characters that even for the Marvel Comics universe has been at the best third level.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
you got to build popularity for Civil War
mm-hmm.
because this is going to factor into it. And then for the Inhumans movie. So, yes, you got to start now.
Yes, and so I'm thinking that we're going to probably see quite a few Inhumans in Civil War as well, because we know that, I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but we know that this season is going to be all about building up to Civil War, because all the seeds have been planted all last season.
Right.
The seeds were planted in Age of Ultron and also in Ant-Man.
Right,
and in the animated series as well. So,
yeah, it's not going to make sense if they don't take some of the Inhuman characters that have been established in the series, provided the series is still around by 2019, and incorporate some of these characters into the movie. Yeah, I mean to have it and not have Daisy in it or not have Lash in it. In the movie, it might be a little silly.
That's true. I mean, I would not be surprised to see characters from the television series present, at least maybe even in the background or at least as a cameo.
Yeah,
in the movie, I would be shocked if that does not happen.
Yeah. Because, the thing that everyone praises Marvel for is how the series and the movies are still all connected.
Yes.
Well, let's add more connection. Let's bring in more of the... with Civil War, I would love to see Mockingbird make a cameo or Fitz and Simmons show up for something. At the new base.
Right.
Supposedly, aren't they working a little bit with Stark on some of the technology to incorporate into S.H.I.E.L.D. gear?
Figure. Plus Coulson's hand. I mean,
yeah.
I'm still...
What's the point of Avengers Labs?
Yeah.
Sorry, Claymation's
I'm still waiting for Coulson to be sporting a repulsor hand. I'm telling you.
I would love that.
Because that would just rock. And it would so totally tie in because... Tony took Coulson's death really hard, and I think he, of all people, would like to know if, that Coulson is alive. And if he is, he'd just say, hey, can you lend me a hand here?
Would that be one of the best...
I see what you did there.
would that be one of the best kept secrets if... Stark appears in one of the first two episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh,
you get Robert Downey Jr. on an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you are pulling major numbers probably for the rest of the season.
Yeah. I know he wants to do it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I know he would do it. It's not a question of if,
Yeah, so, why don't we hit get started on the comic news, because it's also a very special week. Marvel is calling it Kirby Week, because Friday the 28th is would have been Jack Kirby's 98th birthday. So it's
tomorrow at the time of this recording.
So why not have a celebration of Kirby ourselves? So, I mean, well, we've got news related to that. But we got a couple other comic stories beforehand. So, Eric, why don't you take it away with the one that you brought to the table?
Okay. Now, one of my favorite movies of all time, not just Marvel, not just, well, it's not really a superhero movie. It is a Marvel movie, though. That is Guardians of the Galaxy. I've been a fan of the movie. I've been a fan of the comic book series, the original lineup of the Guardians. Well, it looks like comic book fans, Marvel fans everywhere, we are going to get the best of all worlds. Because Marvel Comics, according to comicbook.com, has revealed Guardians of Infinity number 1, the first issue of a brand new series featuring multiple generations of Guardians of the Galaxy. That means we got the original characters from the original team, now known as Guardians 3000. You've also got characters like Drax, Rocket, and Groot from the team that we know from the movie, the modern team. And that will introduce a brand new team called the Guardians 1000. And the series, the opening story arc, will have all three versions together. Now, the official solicitation text says, "In the infinite expanse of time and space, is there room for more Guardians? Hey, you bet there is. Defending the galaxy is a good gig, but Drax isn't thrilled with the combat hours. Not enough of them. And Rocket isn't thrilled with the compensation. Not enough of it. They're off on an adventure to supplement both, and Groot is happy to come along. But instead of the perks they want, they're about to get more trouble than they can handle. Good thing the Guardians 3000 are on hand to help. But what about the Guardians 1000? Now, also in this issue, the number one issue, Latour and Chung. Now, the writers are Dan Abnett and Jason Latour, art by Carlo Barberi and Jim Chung. In this issue, the two of them also tell a one-off story of Ben Grimm and Rocket stuck on a planet where culture is based on Earth-style professional wrestling. But the stakes are life. But the stakes are life and death.
Oh my!
So
goodness.
Considering the Thing was he was a wrestler in the Unlimited League in the comics.
Right.
Yeah, he should be used to this now.
Yeah.
I don't know how Rocket's going to handle in this, because if it comes to a wrestling match, somebody's going to get squished, and it's not your ever loving blue eyed Thing.
Well, Rocket just needs to make sure he doesn't get stoned.
Oh. Well, see, Rocket would bring in foreign objects because he doesn't care.
Rocket, I think, wrote the book on dirty fighting.
Yes, I think he did. Yes, yes, you know.
But as a Guardians fan, I'm excited to see this. I like the original team up. I like the fact that it was a callback. It was set in the very far future with callbacks to the Marvel 616 world that we know.
Right.
And I liked Vance Astro carrying around Captain America's shield, which is now a holy relic.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that. And I loved the fact that there was a gang on Earth that was that identified with the Punisher.
Wow.
Yeah. I loved a lot of the extrapolation of the Marvel universe into the about 1,000 years from now. So that's right. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Cool. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
Are you troubled by the strange ending to Sherlock? Do you experience feeling of dread while waiting for Doctor Who to return? Have you or your family actually seen Orphan Black, Person of Interest, or Sleepy Hollow? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Log in to the home of all things geek, the Earth Station 1 Network.
Our podcasts are on call 24 hours a day to serve all your geek needs.
The ESO Network will be right there.
We're ready to geek out with you.
Be part of the crew at ESOnetwork.com.
The ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESOnetwork.com.
Hey kids, John and Adam from Megadads here. We want to take a few seconds to tell you about how awesome our show is.
Megadads Live is a monthly show that looks at the world of video games from the old, wrinkly point of view of two middle-aged gamers.
Are you talking about us?
Yes, that's us.
It's not easy to find time to play games when you have to mow the lawn, change diapers, and unsuccessfully satisfy a significant other.
Speak for yourself.
So check out Megadads Live on iTunes or at our website, megadads.org. Each download raises money to help fight infant Alzheimer's.
Is that a real disease?
No, it's not.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
Welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Eric, Kylan, and Mike. And the discussion we had during that break about Marvel and Malibu and Prototype and, was it Prime?
Yeah, Prime, yeah.
Yep. And US-1 and Wally the Wizard. Remember that name. But I guess we were getting hyped up for more comic news, such as Secret Wars is going on to a 9th issue. Originally slated to be 8, they're doing one more. Marvel announced via a press release that their massive Secret Wars event, which has, you know, pretty much reshaped, relaunched, essentially is relaunching Marvel, has just received an extension. The series from writer Jonathan Hickman and Asad Ribic, is now receiving one more issue. Secret Wars number 9 will arrive in December of 2015. The release states that the issue was added to allow the creative team to finish their cataclysmic story as intended. Fans worried that the launch of Secret Wars will delay the launch of all new, all different Marvel this fall, but need not worry, according to David Gabriel, Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing. The extra issue will not affect any of the new launches as part of the all new, all different Marvel. But there may be a surprise or two left over from Battle World that you weren't expecting. In fact, like the original Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars, some of those puzzle pieces will hit the Marvel Universe before the event concludes. But if you want to see how they all fit together, you don't want to miss the last few issues. With the newly announced Secret Wars number 9 coming in December, Marvel's post-Secret Wars lineup launches in October. So we're 2 months out from that. Or actually, a month and a half.
Yeah.
Less than a month and a half. 5 weeks away.
Yeah.
With the release of Invincible Iron Man number 1, along with a number of other fresh starts. So, there you have it. What are your thoughts on... So essentially, they're going, yeah, we're relaunching, but we still gonna take one final... show you how we got to that final conclusion and end it properly instead of being a cliffhanger.
I think that's a good move on Marvel's part, especially with this being such a big event that is changing the landscape of the Marvel Comics universe. I mean, basically, it's doing away with 616 as we know it and the Ultimate Universe. I think that if you're going to make such a big move, you need to end it properly.
Right.
You know?
Right. My thought behind it is, I hope the 616 sticks around for issue release.
Yes.
timing. If not, I want to know what the new universe is, and hopefully there is a timestamp to go with it.
Yes. So. I will say this. This is how much Marvel is pouring into Secret Wars. Yesterday, we got this month's Collector Core, and it was all Secret Wars. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. I mean, T-shirts, Funko Pop figures, special edition comic, all Secret Wars. It was... Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Marvel is really... I believe they are more about this Secret Wars than they were the original one from... Was that 84, I believe?
Yeah, it's in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secret Wars kind of sounded... I think it was pretty much a merchandise tie-in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not just to sell toys.
No.
So there is a whole lot more at stake this go around for Secret Wars than there was the first time around.
That's true. It was there was a ton of action figures and toys that went with it.
Mm hmm. The stakes are far higher here.
Yeah,
so if you're dealing with something this important, then yes, take another issue and do it right.
Yes.
According to Wikipedia, Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, commonly known simply as Secret Wars, is a 12-issue crossover limited series published from May of 84 to April of 85. The series was written by Jim Shooter and art by Mike Zeck and Bob Layton. It was tied to the same named toy line from Mattel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Publication history. The series was conceived by Marvel Comics editor-in-chief Jim Shooter. Kenner had licensed the DC heroes. Mattel had He-Man, but he wanted to hedge in case the superheroes became the next big fad.
They were just a little ahead of their time there.
Yeah. So, and I guess someone else who was a little bit ahead of their time, and like we talked about earlier, Marvel is celebrating Jack Kirby, because August 28th would have been his 98th birthday. Go check out marvel.com/Kirby Week, KirbyWeek, to see what was going on. I thought one of the relevant things to bring to the show was the Marvel staff got together and narrowed down their top 10 favorite characters that Jack Kirby brought to life. In the number...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in the number 10 spot, the Black Panther.
Wow.
Essentially being the first prominent African hero in comics.
Yeah.
Now, just remember, when we say that he helped create, he had a hand in creating. Now, he may not always have the direct credit for creating a character, but he played a part in the process.
Yeah.
He did.
In the number 9 spot, Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the little write-up, the mighty god of Thor brought out the epic sides of Stan Lee and especially Jack Kirby, who delighted in not only presenting a very different Thor than one who originated in Norse mythology, but designing Asgard and its extensive cast.
And if you look especially at the very first Thor movie, they referenced Kirby's designs heavily.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So, I mean, it was... Me, personally, the main reason I didn't particularly care for Thor through the years is because he wasn't the one from Norse mythology. I had read some of the legends when I was a kid, and I'm thinking, Thor's actually pretty much of a badass. Well, here we have this Thor who speaks like he's doing Shakespeare in the Park.
Yeah.
And doesn't look a thing like the Thor that I had imagined from reading the legends. But then I saw the movie, and I was just kind of like thinking, in knowing that they relied heavily on Kirby's designs for a bunch of stuff, and I'm just thinking, you know, I didn't give that man enough credit. So, yes.
Are you horse?
We don't have horses, just dogs, cats, birds.
They give me one of those large enough to ride.
Chris Hemsworth got me interested in Thor.
Yeah.
I wish I could say. That works for me. Yeah.
But see, his version of Thor, he borrowed heavily from Ultimate Thor.
Yeah.
With the really good aspects from the 616 Thor. Because I was like you, like, the whole, you know, forsooth thou, I'm like, really? You know, but then again, you're a god, so who am I to say?
Yeah.
You know, but my exposure to Thor was the Norse mythological Thor. So, it was a bit of a disconnect for me.
In the number 8 spot is MODOK.
MODOK.
Under Kirby's pencil, MODOK carried a deranged, homicidal air like none other.
Well, didn't they say, you know, organism designed only for killing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's part of what makes up his name, he's kind of got to be homicidal on that.
Yeah.
Just a little. But I mean, I'm just gonna say you're a little crazy, though, for thinking that.
Well,
but yeah. If you went around looking like that, I mean, there's not a whole heck of a lot you could do. But kill.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you're not going to make the cover of GQ.
No.
MODOK's jokes kill.
Really? Oh, my
goodness. You're just trying to get ahead with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 7 is Dr. Doom.
Victor.
Living up to such a menacing moniker would have proven difficult for an artist, but not for King Kirby. The cold steel of Doom's armor conveys the power and impending destruction, while the green cape heightened the nobility nature of Latveria's tyrant. So,
how is Dr. Doom 7 on this list?
Because number 6 is the Avengers. And we know there's a lot of them.
Mm. Yeah.
In the number 5 spot, Iron Man. Number 4, the Fantastic Four.
I see what you did there.
That's what Marvel did. Number 3, the Cloud himself, Galactus.
Mm-mm-mm.
I will say Galactus is probably my favorite Kirby design.
Number 2.
Yeah.
I have an army. We have a Hulk.
We have a Hulk at number 2.
Yep. He's big, he's mean, he's gray. Well, in his first appearance, at least. Only Kirby could take a man, unleash his more primal, powerful emotions, and turn him into one of the most beloved monsters in any medium. Even his co-creator can never predict how many readers connected with the strangest man of all time. And in the number 1 spot is Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
the living legend himself.
Yeah, I guess we can I guess we can overlook Dr. Doom being so far down the list if Captain America's that high.
Yeah.
To me, I think the Cap movies are the best of the solo films. That's my opinion.
I'll be there with you. I'll be there with you, especially.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
My opinion, better than Thor. My opinion, better than the Iron Man movies. At this point in time, I just don't see why they couldn't just call the next Cap movie, just call it Marvel's Civil War. Because it's going to be more Avengers-based than it is Cap-based. And that's the only thing I'm a little disappointed about.
Nah, I'm not disappointed about that. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America is like the very first superhero.
Right.
And he is, in many ways, he is the anchor of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
He is the heart and soul of the Avengers.
Right.
Iron Man may be the bankroller, or he may be like, he is not a leader.
Right.
He is definitely not a leader. Cap is a leader.
Right. Yes.
I'm not saying call it Avengers Civil War. I'm just saying call it Civil War. I don't think Cap needs to be on there.
The point that I'm trying to make here, though, is who better to be the one that gets the Civil War?
Yeah.
That's
true. I mean, yeah. if you're talking, if you have to have a name to associate with the Civil War.
Right.
You're not going to have Iron Man Civil War. That makes no sense. You're not going to have Avengers Civil War. That makes no sense. Captain America, he's at the heart of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He needs to be the one to anchor the Civil War.
And really, he was there for the very first seeds being planted in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
He was there.
And plus, Captain America plays a very prominent role in the Civil War in the comics. You could say that if not for him, there likely wouldn't be much of a Civil War storyline.
No, no.
So, to me, I see where you're coming from, Mike. I really right. do. But to me, it just makes sense that it would be Captain America Civil War.
Right.
I believe that it would... I think that Captain America Civil War brings more, will create more of a draw than Marvel Civil War. I think people need a point of reference, you know, and whereas I think if they see Marvel Civil War, they think it's just a bunch of heroes fighting it out. Whereas if and not saying that that's not the point, it is, or that's not happening, it is. But if you see Captain America Civil War, then I think it gives them a point to approach the movie from.
Okay. Well, that wraps up our comic news, so let's head right into our Marvel Unlimited pick for the week.
And that would be my pick this week, isn't it? Okay,
yes, it is.
So what I am going to pick, this is one that I was going to pick the last time I had the pick, but I found another one that just made more sense at the time. My pick this go around is Excalibur number 1, and it came out in October of 1988. The penciler was Alan Davis, inker was Paul Neary, written by Chris Claremont, former guest on Mighty Marvel Geeks, and it was a X-Men story, an X-Men group that took the road less traveled in many ways, because they would, yes, they did battle villains, yes, they did save the world, but the story focused on the characters interacting with each other as much as it did with the world around them, if that makes any sense. There were, it was almost a primetime drama.
Mm-hmm.
You had Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde, who were, they were injured and recuperating with Moira MacTaggert at the time that the X-Men all died, quote-unquote died in Dallas during Fall of the Mutants.
Right.
So they were kind of like without a team, without a group. So basically, they started hanging out, and they teamed up with Captain Britain, Psylocke's brother, and his girlfriend Megan, and Phoenix, the one from the future timeline that helped to hunt down mutants.
Okay.
So it was an unlikely group, but it was a very good dynamic, and it was in my opinion, it was probably the best X-Men series of them all at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, just a reminder, starting next week, we're going to launch the Mighty Marvel Geeks Book Club. So, looking forward to what Kylan picks as our first book club pick for the week, or for the month.
Woo-hoo.
And of course, we'll discuss it at the end of the month.
You guys get ready.
Oh, yeah. We got over 15,000 titles to pick from.
And so unfortunately, many. Y'all listening to this, either on the show on Sorcerer Radio or the podcast at the We Beat Eats Network, I feel sorry for y'all, because y'all cannot see the evil grin that is spreading across Kylan's face as we speak.
Oh,
I mean, he's almost like Mr. Burns off the Simpsons.
Excellent. Yes, yes.
Yeah, but I'm the one who came up with that one title that I said, don't forget.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you don't have an evil grin too, but Kylan's is just a little bit more entertaining at the moment.
That works.
Hell yeah. Makes me kind of feel like I want to, I don't know, watch Shaft, or I'm going to get you, sucker. I don't know.
The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon, yes.
It's just
gotta have your
on
theme
DVD.
Music. Every hero's got to have his theme music.
Every hero got to have his theme music.
Yep.
And that be our theme music.
Our theme music.
Yes.
It is that time again. Mighty Marvel Geeks new comic book day picks for September 2nd in 2015. I almost said 1985. I don't know why.
Well, you're safe and sound now.
They're a little late.
1955.
So these are our picks for September 2nd, 2015. Who would like to go first? Actually, Kylan, yep. you go first, since Eric has Marvel Unlimited.
Okay, my pick, excuse me, is actually a number one.
Ooh.
It's from 2015, Deadpool versus Thanos. The writer is Tim Seeley. The cover artist is Trad Thomas Moore. We all know Thanos, the man who single-handedly made bejeweled gloves into the deadly weapon of choice for mass murder. But did you know he shares an ex with Deadpool? No, not Vanessa. I refer to the cosmic lady known as Death. And when everyone in the universe stops dying, both of her former beaux take an interest. Can the pair overcome one's overwhelming hatred of and the annoyance by the other? Or will Thanos finally let Deadpool die once and for all? There's nothing to say to this. I just go out and read it for the high drama, crazy awesomeness that will definitely entail.
People are just dying for this book.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't know who to feel more sorry for in that one, either Thanos or Deadpool. I don't know.
I mean, you both dated the same woman? Really?
And not just any woman, the personification of death. This isn't some kind of goth person. No, this is the actual death.
Just some dead weight.
Just getting rid of some dead wood over here.
I foresee this ending with the two of them sitting in a bar, having drinks, just talking it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, any other comic series, I'd probably disagree with you, but not this one.
No.
No.
Yeah, this is on the pull list, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my first pick of the week is Scarlet number 9 from the award-winning team that brought you Daredevil and Spider-Woman. Comes another explosive chapter of one of the most controversial creator-owned comics being published today. Scarlet has declared war on a city that refuses to stop the corruption that is strangling it from within, and now she will be forced to make her most dangerous move yet, letting them capture her.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, Eric, your first pick of the week.
My first pick is a number 3. It is Red Skull number 3. Written by Joshua Williamson, penciled by Luca Pizzari, and cover artist Riley Rossmo. The Deadlands have pushed Magneto's mind to the brink of madness. Can the Shield survive an attack from the Red Skull's new army? Is there anyone left to defeat the Red Skull? I got this mainly because, well, I've been picking this pretty much all along because the whole concept sounds interesting. But what really grabbed me this go-around was the cover that's going along with it, and you see Magneto with this crazed look in his eye. He is painting the Red Skull onto his face. Think about this: the guy who was tortured in a concentration camp is now painting the emblem of the Nazi Superman onto his own face. I am definitely gonna have to pull these and get these. Because I've just got to.
Yeah.
All right. Kylan, your second pick for the week.
My second pick is Daredevil number 18. It is the final book in the autobiography of Matt Murdock story arc. The final chapter in the autobiography of Matt Murdock is written by someone who may surprise you. Not everyone survives this phase in Daredevil's life. Find out who lives, who dies, and who is changed forever. The writer is Mark Waid, who, you know, I'm already sold because... I'm already sold because it's Daredevil, but Mark Waid, I'm there. Penciler and cover artist is Chris Samnee. Just go out and get it. Yeah. Daredevil, Mark Waid, sold.
See, I'm going to say the same thing with this pick. My number 2 is Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. For the first time in the new Star Wars canon, journey with us into the time after the end of Return of the Jedi. Writer Greg Rucka and artist Marco Cicchetto take us past the destruction of the second Death Star into the chaos of a shattered empire. So this is pretty much creating some of that new canon leading up to The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
So, Eric, your number two pick.
My number two is a number four. Groot number four, written by Jeff Loveness and Declan Shalvey as the cover artist. Groot assembles a ragtag band of aliens to go after Eris and finally save his long-lost pal, Rocket. An explosive, and this is all in caps, explosive surprise sets his plans off course, though.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the number three picks for this week.
Okay, my last one is also a number one. Agent Carter, S.H.I.E.L.D., 5th anniversary. I don't have a publisher. I don't have a writer or an artist on it, but Agent Carter is back in an all-new adventure that reveals her secret history with S.H.I.E.L.D. When Dum-Dum Duggan attempts to recruit her to S.H.I.E.L.D., will Peggy join up or go her own way? Operation Sin's crackerjack team of Catherine Eminem and Rich Ellis return to the world of Peggy Carter.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, my third pick for the week.
Oh, here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fellow. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila!
Figment 2, number 1. Writer is Jim Zub. Cover artist is John Tyler Christopher. The legendary Dreamfinder and Figment return in an all-new adventure. Figment and Dreamfinder have saved the world, but now find themselves in a time and place not their own. Out of time for over 100 years, old friends reunite, new challenges are met, and a new, brand new mystery unfolds. Dreamfinder's greatest challenge lies ahead, but what will his own legacy be his undoing? Don't miss the sequel to the fan favorite, sold out Figment miniseries based on Walt Disney World's beloved Journey into Imagination.
Just give this guy a regular series already.
Yeah, just do it. Do it.
You can do it. You can do it, Kari.
You can do it.
So your final pick.
My final pick is a number five. It is Planet Hulk number five. I have been recommending this series every month now.
Yep.
Written by Sam Humphreys, penciled by Mark Laming, and cover artist Michael Del Mundo. Branded by battle, absolved by blood, for Steve Rogers and Devil Dinosaur, there is no end to Hulk, no promise of salvation. Crawl in the mud and the blood until the claws of death reach your throat. There is no escape. Planet Hulk is inside us all.
Yummy.
Nummy, nummy, nummy.
So, well, that's going to wrap it up for our picks for September 2nd. And it's also going to kind of wrap it up for this week on the show. Now, last week we kind of teased something special, and I'm going to tell you right now, go to Patreon, patreon.com/ Mighty Marvel Geeks, if you're interested in helping support the show. We got some great rewards out there, such as you pledge $1 a month. Yeah, we'll give you a shout out on the show, and when we run contests, you'll get some extra, quite a few extra bonus submissions or entries in the contest. $5 mark?
Yeah, I believe five.
You actually get to, now it's limited to 12 because we're only going to be doing this 12 times a year. With this next part, but you'll be able to join us on the air for a book club discussion when we do the discussion of the book of the month. At the $10 level, if we have a Marvel guest, such as Jason Aaron, or maybe a Mark Wade, or whoever,
Jim Zub,
then you'll be able to sit in on that episode with us when we interview the Marvel creator. Now, if we are lucky to get cast in from either any of the movies or the TV series, we might run a special price point for that, because I mean that is going to be kind of wow and bizarre, be worth a little bit more. But we'll have that up as we know we're going to probably within at least 2-3 weeks before, and that'll be a one-time charge if you buy into it. So, other than that, you guys have anything else?
No. We're good.
Well then, Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go darker.
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.